Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. My guest this week, Sierra Stockland, is an author, speaker, and four times Iron Woman. She has owned and operated businesses since her early teens. Definitely a serial entrepreneur, and her business mindset and tenacity led her to open her first shop in 2006, which she then franchised. She has had vast experience in retail and wholesale industries, and was the first to launch, first to market wholesale subscription box for boutique retailers, which I'm going to have to ask you about. And she built and sold it within 18 months. Definitely a serial entrepreneur, as I mentioned, and lots to bring to the table. So welcome, Sierra, to the podcast.
Oh, hi. I'm excited to chat with you.
Thank you so much. I know you're a very busy woman, and whether it's you're out running or you're helping clients or you're driving or you're going to clients that are in a different state and helping them with their businesses, you're very busy. So I want to go back though first and say, so what was your first shop that you opened in 2006?
Yeah, it was a maternity baby store. So just a high-end maternity boutique. We were in Fargo, North Dakota, and there weren't a lot of options. I knew I wanted to open a retail store, but knew I needed to do something a little bit different, have my own niche. And so maternity baby is where I started.
Were you pregnant at the time, or were you?
I was just done. Yeah. So I had a 1 and 3 year old.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yep. And so you found a niche that worked for that time in your life as well, which is great. Right. Now, that was retail, and then you've gotten into wholesale as well. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so we opened that in 2006. 6 months later, I opened a second retail concept right next door. So I had two stores at the same time. And that second store was a designer outlet store. So we would buy overstock, off-price, liquidated goods, similar to like TJ Maxx, Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
And we would sell them to customers. And then I started buying excess inventory and selling it to other retail stores or helping particular designers offload their product. So we got into the wholesale broker department of retail and inventory. So I've really touched inventory on all sides of it.
So was that intentional? Like, did you come from a background around that? Or because
No.
Okay. It just happened.
I'm very much like, if I see an opportunity, I like to solve a problem. And so we had the opportunity to sell overstock, and I thought, well, I could figure this out. So we figured it out. And then I thought, well, there's lots of people that have overstock that need help getting rid of it. I can figure that out. So it just grew from one thing to the next.
The true entrepreneur. And I say that more than once because we use that word too lightly these days. You know, you're that visionary that is a true entrepreneur. I'll figure it out later, but I can see the need.
Yes, that's it. Right? I'll figure out all the details later on.
Yeah, I'm all about the details, and that doesn't make me a true entrepreneur. I get it. It's interesting. You also became a Profit First certified coach, and I'm guessing that fits into one of the tools that you teach your clients or work with your clients as well, correct?
Yeah. So had the retail franchise, ended up selling the franchise brand to one of my franchisees. Then my next venture was the subscription box. Through that, I started meeting lots of retailers.
Okay.
And that's where I was hearing a lot of the same questions. How much inventory should I buy? How do I read a financial? Where's all my money going? And I was able to answer these questions because I had built and sold and built and grew multiple businesses. And so started doing some coaching, consulting, had a group membership. And through that then, that just catapulted, had people started asking me about, you know, do you know anything about Profit First? Can you help us with Profit First? And so got my certification in the Profit First method.
Okay. So the subscription box is interesting to me because it's kind of the thing now. When I watch Shark Tank every week, everybody's doing a subscription box. Everybody's launching their businesses that way. What was yours?
So it was a subscription box for retailers. So I would bring together a wholesaler and a retailer. So wholesalers, creators, makers could put samples in the box, which directly to the doorstep of a retailer, it's almost like it was like market in a box. So market came directly to them. They could purchase what they want, connect with those wholesalers. So it was an easy way to connect people.
Now it's all influencers doing it, right?
Yeah, so many.
Yeah. It's like I just watched a clip on Instagram before this call. I was having lunch and I was flipping through, and there's a girl that lives here in my area. She lives up in Kelowna, BC, but she's, you know, from Vancouver area, not very far. She was the bachelorette, like the third one or something like that. And she is probably one of the most successful people that came out of that franchise, in that she created herself as a business very well.
Sure.
And she's always got new products. I swear that the photographers, the videographers live at her house, because she's got new videos all the time, right? But and this one was something about partnered with, right? This company, luggage company, whatever, and it's constant. And that seems to be the way so many things get sold. And she's a smart cookie, so I'm always curious to watch how she does. I'm also curious about what makes the retailer, the person who has inventory, that you work with these types of businesses that have a lot of inventory. What's the like two or three key things that are really an issue for them that you usually find and have to solve?
Yeah, I think when most businesses or all businesses come to me for help, they come with one or two, either one or both of these questions. First one, where's all my money going? Okay. I have a lot of sales. There's lots of money coming in. I don't know where it's at. I don't have, my P&L says I made money, but I don't have that money. So where's it going? Wow. Or the second question is, I have a lot of debt. How do I get out of it? How did I get here? What do I do with the debt? And both of those things, we really have to dial down to the root of the problem and build a strong foundation. So most entrepreneurs are very artsy. They're, you know, art focused versus scientific focused. So meaning like they're creators, they're great at product, they're great at display, great at customer service, not so great at operations, the numbers, the financials, and they can be quite intimidating, you know, so they look at numbers and think, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea what my P&L says, what it even means. It seems foreign. So I help them break that down and figure out, where is the money going, looking at the root? So how do we figure out what your margins are, what you're charging for product, what it's costing to operate your business? And from that, then we set profit goals instead of top line revenue goals. So that's great if you want to be a $1 million business, but if you don't take a paycheck, who cares? So that's where we start.
So explain that again, top level versus.
Yeah. So profit goals, net profit goals versus top line revenue goals.
So not how much you want the business to make, but how much
you want to keep.
Yes.
Okay. And then we work backwards from there. Okay. So, you know, the thinking, like, you hear this all the time, I'm a seven-figure business, I'm a six-figure entrepreneur. That means nothing if you don't understand where the money's going and how the money's working. And so I want you to be a six-figure salary entrepreneur. I want you to take a salary and pay yourself and pay off your debt. And so we build the profit goal. And then from there, we work on what does that look like in top-line revenue.
And does profit, because I've heard of Profit First, and the fellow that wrote it is, what's his name?
Mike Michalowicz.
Mike.
Yeah.
And does it mean pay yourself first? Is that what it basically means?
Yeah. So Profit First is a cash management system. It just tells you, or it helps you understand how to tell your money where to go. So instead of just saying, I have $10,000 in my bank account, so I'll buy a little of this, I can afford rent, I can do this, you look at what the sales are, what the cost of those sales are. And then the difference of that is what you get to divide up between your paycheck, operation of the business. It's just a way, it's an envelope system essentially for entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
That sounds, I remember one time going to a Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker. I don't know if you've ever heard of T. Harv Eker.
No.
He was around for a long time. You know, thought leader, Tony Robbins type, you know, like
sure.
that kind of thing. So, he wrote a book called The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And he used to have these huge, you know, sessions for people free. Then they'd come and then they'd sign up for all his expensive courses. And he lived here for a while. And I remember I went to his free seminar, 3-day thing or whatever it was. And now I've forgotten the point of what I was. Oh, yeah. So in his book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, he talks about having, in fact, it's funny, I've got one of these jars here right now because I was doing a draw for something and I had their names in the draw. But he made you get these jars and labeled them for all the different things that you would put your, you know, divide your money into. And it was similar kind of thing to what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I'm not doing that anymore, but, but anyway, I would think that because of the work that you do, you work with a client for a long enough period of time that they must become like your babies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You have a long
term? Yeah. I mean, it's typically at least a year. Like I ask for a year commitment because when we have foundational cracks in our business, we cannot fix those overnight. If you have a lot of debt, if you have a lot of financial issues, it just takes time to course correct, to change habits. And so we work together for at least a year, but a lot of clients will stay for 2 to 3 years, you know, get a really good foundation. We turn the ship around and I get to know them, you know, I'm very relationship focused, as you know. And so I get to know them. I understand their hopes, their fears. I get to know about their family. So I just, this last week graduated out 3 ladies that have been with me for 3 years each. Uh-huh. They all know each other. I know them. And we're, you know, I was on the call with one of them and she said, I don't want to hang up. She's sad. But I'm like, I'm here.
Was it her that decided that it was time or was it you?
I would say both of us, probably more me. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of gals. I'm like, I've helped you as much as I can. Your business is in order. You know how to do the work. Yeah. And so you need to go on, you know, and find other areas that you want to improve in your business and find coaches and consultants that can help you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely I can see where the relationships become very strong. Have you ever had
when you're talking about money a lot, I mean, that's a really intimate conversation. Right. I know everything about their finances. Sometimes things that their husbands or their business partners, they haven't told them because they're so ashamed or, you know, and so I just know a lot. I see a lot of tears, you know, and we're able to fix so many things. And then you grow close to someone who's with you through those storms. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's very, very satisfying.
Yeah.
I would think. Yeah. Have you ever gone into a business and realized that there's no fix, that they better cut their losses and just, you know?
Yeah, it's more if the mindset of the entrepreneur isn't there and they're not ready or willing to do all of the work. You can't do 90% of the hard work and expect the results. And so I've had a couple clients where I said, you know, I just don't think I'm the right fit for you. What you're looking for isn't something like, I don't offer a quick fix. I offer a complete change in habits, in, you know, giving you the confidence and giving you the skill set that you need, but you have to be willing to do the work. And so if someone isn't willing to do all of the hard things, it doesn't work. Sometimes I've worked with business owners and I'll give business owners the permission to close their doors or to change course. It's really hard if you're an entrepreneur because you feel like your person is tied up and your reputation is tied up in your business. And so a lot of times they'll say, well, if I close, people think I'm a failure. Or if I close that store, I'm working with a client right now. And we're looking at closing one of the locations. That's just, it's not beneficial to the business as a whole. And why is this so hard? You know, because we get emotionally attached. And so a lot of times I give my clients permission, show them the black and white and the numbers of, you know, what's really happening in the business. And that can give them just like, oh, that feels good. Someone finally told me it's okay not to keep going as I am.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. And you have a book, the Inventory Genius book. Is that what it's called? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that's your method of how you help people in with the coaching that you do. So people can get a sense of you from that book of how
Correct.
You operate.
Yeah. Yes. So it's and kind of my story is woven in, my client's stories are woven in, which makes it easier to read about numbers if we have some anecdotes. So yes. Yeah. And it's a simple, easy to read, about 2-hour read.
And is it for the do-it-yourselfer, or is it just to get a sense of who you are before they decide whether they're going to work with you?
I think both. It really depends. So there's a lot of people that have read the book, Can Take the Method, and it's like, that made so much sense. That gave me clarity. And then I do have a lot of people that will read the book, and then they listen to my podcast, Inventory Genius, and then they'll take a free course. You know, every yes. person's path is different. Some will read the book. I have one client right now. She read the book and came right to me. Like, I want to skip to the front of the line. I want you to tell me what to do. Yeah. So it really depends. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? And doing these podcasts and speaking to groups of people, somebody will just resonate right away. I did a webinar the other day. And I think before I finished the webinar, this girl had signed up on, connected with me on LinkedIn and booked a time to talk to me. And she yeah. said, like, I haven't done social media. I've avoided it for so long. Now's the time I want to do it right. And so obviously she saw something in me that I could help her. So it's just, yeah. it's very cool when that happens, right?
It is.
Yeah. So what you said about, yes, you can't do 90% of the work. You have to go all the way and do it. I imagine that's the same with your Ironman training, because you are yes. a master Ironman person. Not, I don't mean master in terms of age. I mean that you are, a master at it. So tell us a little bit about that journey, because I find yeah. I'm fascinated and I'm impressed totally.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I never did sports in high school or college. I started running after the kids were born. They were toddlers. And I had a friend that said, let's run, you know, she encouraged me to run. I remember I couldn't run a block the first time I went. I thought, oh my goodness, I can't breathe. What is going yeah. on? But I would do 5K races, some sprint triathlons, just shorter distance, had zero interest in anything long at all. Yeah. And but then my husband did an Ironman.
So you were a competitive person because you had yes. to find something to push you. Okay.
I yeah. did. Yeah. I wouldn't be someone that would just go to the gym if I didn't have a reason.
Yes. So, okay.
Yeah. And then my husband did his first Ironman in 2021. And while he was training, I thought I would never, like, I had literally had zero interest, said, no, no, thank you. No way. When I saw him compete, the wheel started turning. And then I thought, what if I did this as a learning teaching lesson for my coaching clients mm-hmm. that you really can do what you want to do if you set your mind to it. And so that was a big part of why I signed up for my first Ironman, but I was 43. And I was training for a 5K at the time. So I went from 5K race training to full Ironman distance triathlon training. And, and have been doing that for the last 4 years.
Had you been a swimmer or a cyclist?
Recreationally only.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a huge difference too.
Yeah, for sure. Swim 2.4 miles in an Ironman. So it's a little different than having fun at the pool.
Yeah, exactly. And how long's the bike ride?
112. Miles, and then a full marathon at the end.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Here at Relationships Rule, we are all about the personal touch. Dive into the 10-card gratitude challenge with me. Transform your relationships through the power of simple gestures. Join me and let's spread joy and appreciation one card at a time. You will elevate your connections and your spirits because it's just as much fun to send cards as it is to receive them. Ready to make a lasting impact? Then visit sendoutcards.com/Janice Porter and let's be unforgettable together. Unbelievable. And now you've done one with your daughter.
Yes. So you can compete in Ironman when you're 18. So mm-hmm. when she turned 18, she did her first full Ironman last summer. I think in that one, she placed third. She did really, really well and qualified for world championships. And I had also qualified for world championships. So we were able to be a mother-daughter duo. We got to train together last summer. And then we went to world championships in Kona, which is the iconic Ironman Kona race. Yes. It was the first all-female world championships they've ever done. So that was really unique. Yeah. So we were able to do that in October.
I didn't see any pictures of that on your website. Are there pictures there? Did I miss
No, anything? So that I have an Instagram page. You'll have to take a look. It's TwoGensTry, TwoGensTri. So like two generations try. And we post and share our journey there because we're Perfect. Still training together for something else.
So. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. so cool. Very, very cool. And this might be irrelevant to anything, but I am curious, why did you move, or what was the reason to move from Fargo, North Dakota to to Tennessee?
Weather.
Weather.
Okay. So tired of the freezing cold 9-month winters in North Dakota. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And so you're in, are you in Nashville? You're in.
Yeah. In a suburb of Nashville.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's really interesting too. Okay. So, I like to ask my guests sometimes a little off the side questions. And one of the ones that, fascinates me sometimes is, okay, with how much, information is thrown at us at such a raving pace these days. How do you take it? Do you like to read books still, like the old fashioned way? Do you read on a Kindle? Do you rather listen to books? Do you watch videos? Do you listen to podcasts? What do you do for your?
Yeah, I kind of do everything. I love a book. So I always have 2 or 3 books going at the same, like a physical book. You can see a lot behind me.
Yes.
Because I like to underline. I like to, you know, bend the pages. I like to share books. I don't really read on a Kindle often. I have one, but usually don't do that. I do love audiobooks though, too, because I drive quite a bit. Mm. And so then I can listen to, and some things are just easier to listen to than to read. Mm-hmm. So I like to listen. I love watching TV. I like movies. So I do that a lot in the evenings. I love sitting outside and reading a book. We have a beautiful back porch. It's just so nice here in Tennessee. We can sit out almost year round, really. Wow. Yeah. So I love doing that.
Yeah. Does it get humid there? Is it quite humid in the summer?
Yeah, not like Florida, but it is a lot more humid than like North Dakota would be.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you just said about reading books and marking them up and so forth, I love to do that too. And I interviewed a gentleman yesterday or the day before for my podcast who I asked him a similar question and he said a similar answer. But then he said, sometimes what I do is, and I thought it was strange, but I think he's going to send me one. So I'll see what it's like. But he said he'll mark up a book that he loves, that is probably a business book or a self-help book or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he'll get somebody like an assistant he'll buy a new copy of it and he'll mark that one up to highlight this exactly the same as his book and then send it to somebody.
Oh, interesting.
I know. Because I said, I don't know. I said, if you send me a book and you've already marked it up, I'm not sure I would highlight the same pages and it might distract me. He said, So I thought that was really interesting, you know?
Yeah. I've bought a couple books. Actually, I see one behind me. I saw it there. Yeah. Off Amazon. And sometimes they'll have someone else's markings in them. And I don't know if it's distracted me, but I don't think it had the same emphasis for me, you know, because our brains, what we need and how we process is different. So it's interesting. Yeah,
I know. I thought that was really interesting too. And about buying it used on Amazon, I don't even like to get books out of the library anymore.
You like a new brand new book. Yeah.
Terrible, really. But I mean, I did go to the library with my granddaughter and we get books for her, but I don't know. Anyway, I think it's that COVID residue that's staying with something, whatever. But anyway, and then the other thing I like to ask, and by the way, I'm so glad you said you love movies and TV because I do too. And the Oscars are coming up. And I just wrote a little bit about that actually yesterday that, you know, it's not the same as it used to be. I used to definitely go to make sure I saw all the movies so I could have my ballot and know who was going to, you know, and have a thing. But now I just watch them on TV pretty much. I did see Oppenheimer in the theater, but that's the only one I saw in the theater. And I haven't seen them all. And it's not killing me the way it would have in the past.
Yeah. What about you? Do you find I would way rather stay home than go to a theater. Yeah. Cause then I have, you know, wear my comfy clothes, make my own popcorn, sit on my own couch, take a break when I want. Yeah.
We have big screens now, right?
Yeah. I mean, certainly I rarely go. And you can, I don't know. It's just nice. You can watch with your own people and
I agree. So will you watch the Academy Awards?
I'll probably just pop in just to see the dresses. That's what I care about. Yeah. I just want to see what they're wearing.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Cause I do too. My last question before the last question is, My favorite word is curiosity. And I'm curious to know whether you think curiosity is innate or learned. And second part is, what are you most curious about these days?
Yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful question. Interesting you should ask, because I tell my clients quite often to stay curious about their business. Mm. I literally say that, because a good entrepreneur is constantly curious about why. Why did that work? Why didn't that work? How could I do this better? Why did the people think that way? Why did they come in that side of the store and go to that side of the store? Curiosity is what creates change, like good change.
Yeah.
As to whether or not you're born, I think you're born with it, but mm-hmm. I think you can learn it.
Okay.
You can teach yourself to be curious, but I don't think everyone is naturally curious. I'm a very curious person. So mm-hmm. I like to ask, how could I do that better? Why is that not working? How could I fix that? Yeah. And I'm constantly just interested in understanding why people think the way they do and why they process information the way they do. And yeah, lots of questions always.
Yeah. I can see your mind is probably never turns off. You're always thinking of different things.
Yes. And I've had to train that a bit, because that can also be an Achilles, right?
Yes.
Like, to not be able to just rest. So talking about reading, I read all the time, but I felt like I can only read books that will teach me something. And then I thought, you know what? I watch TV, which teaches me nothing. So yeah. Why do I not enjoy books? You know, so, or I start a book, if I don't like it, I don't have to finish it.
Right.
Like, I used to be so regimented. So I think we have to also work on not being constantly on, because we need to learn how to relax.
Yeah.
And slow down as well. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So when you're training for your the marathon part of your Ironman, are you listening to stuff when you're running?
So that's interesting. I don't actually. I rarely listen. So my daughter always has music.
Yes.
I run in the quiet most of the time. Sometimes I'll take a podcast, but I've never listened to music. Part of that is because I'm not very technology savvy, and so to just figure out how to make a play, I know that sounds silly, but figure out how to make a playlist and all the things, I'm like, I just have never had an interest. So sometimes I'll listen to a podcast, but most of the time, even on a really long run, I just think. So I just run and I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. That's really good. I love listening to podcasts when I'm out. Makes the time, if I'm out walking or something, it makes the drudge of it go better. But sometimes I hear what you're saying, and the nature walk is just fine.
Yes.
Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. So last question I would just like to ask you is, what's your best advice for the entrepreneurs listening, the business owners listening, that you give your clients?
Yeah, I think to always look at a perceived failure as a learning lesson. So, and I say perceived failure because we define things that didn't work out the way we had planned, an expectation that didn't come to fruition, as a failure. And we put that on ourselves. But if we can think about it as a learning lesson, John Maxwell has a great book, Sometimes We Win, Sometimes We Learn, not
yes.
lose, but learn.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset, you know, great, you have a lot of debt. That's okay. Let's figure out why and let's change that, right?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense that you opened a store that isn't doing well at all. Okay, we'll figure it out. Close the store, change the ownership, add employees. Like, there's always a solution to a problem if we come at it from the idea that we're going to learn from what didn't work the way we had planned.
I remember saying that about my first marriage. It wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
It was a learning experience.
Yeah, you learn, you know, and you do. It's when we don't learn from those perceived failures that it's a waste. Otherwise, there's no waste in it, right? We become a better, more seasoned person, more seasoned entrepreneur. We can help and teach other people, help them avoid the same mistake.
Right.
So, and it just, people that you meet like that are much richer, not wealth rich, but like their mindset and their appreciation for life. I mean, I'm sure you've met people, you're like, oh my goodness, if I could just sit with this person for 3 hours, I'd love to just listen to them. And that's because they've learned from mistakes. They get up when they perceive, you know, fail. They try again. They're always looking for those around us. They're remaining curious about life. And that's the person that I want to be as well.
Well, it just sounds to me as though you are a calming effect on whoever you work with. And you're so positive that I can just see that it would be a joy to work with you. And it's just, you got these good vibes around you, and it's amazing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, I cheated. I think I have to ask another question now, because
okay.
I'm curious to know whether you have sights on a new business still, or whether you're looking ahead at something else that you want to do.
You know, that's one of the things that I told you a few minutes ago, to learn to tame your mind. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I can do. And I tell my entrepreneurs this too. There's so many things you are capable of. Mm-hmm. It does not mean you need to do them. So I've gotten very good at editing opportunities. Okay. I love where I'm at in life. I have 2 grown children. I want to be available to them. My husband travels a lot for work. I love to be able to go with him if I can. Training, depending on what I'm doing, can take up to 20 hours a week of training for Ironman. Mm-hmm. I want that freedom. And so with that, I have learned to really say no to most things. Mm-hmm. I love what I do with my clients now. And right now in this season, I'm trying to get really, really, really good at delivering really fast results for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'd rather perfect that than add other things.
Well, you're a thinker, definitely. You know what you want. And I love that you can do that. This has been a delight. Thank you so much for being on. Yeah. Podcast. It's been a pleasure. And just getting to know you a little bit more each time I talk to you is amazing. So thank you again for being here. Thank you to my audience for being here. I love that you listen and appreciate you. And remember that we'd love to hear from you. If you like what you heard, let me know. And do check out Sierra's website, which is Inventory Genius.
Just my name, actually. Oh, SierraStockton.com. Yeah.
Right. There you go. And all of her information will be in the show notes. And again, remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.